You know, I believe these are really some exciting times that we're living in. I just look and see what God is doing with our mature church. We're not old, we're mature. And we're very mature in the Lord, and He's using us. You know, He's given us a theme song. We're going on. He's given us prophecies of what He's showing and wanting us to go and to do and how He's working in our lives. We've got people who are willing to go to the shut-ins. Just make a mention, and here they jump right in, and I'll go. Folks, you know, we had a problem with our elevator, and it was big money. They were talking, we're just a small congregation. And in a couple of weeks, it was paid for with extra money for repairs if we ever need them. But this is all from a little congregation who is hearing from God and who is desiring to serve God with all our heart. And we didn't go out asking everybody else to give us money, you know, feel sorry for us so that we can fix our elevator, otherwise we won't be able to do our ministries and all of that. But rather, we trusted God and we stepped out in faith ourselves. And look what God's done. Look how our hearts are now changing and what God is doing. Folks, we're a ministry. God's using us in a mighty way. You know, how many other mature churches would come out at 8 o'clock at night to watch a program on TV? Folks, I got to hand it to you. God is using you. I just stand amazed at what God's doing. The atmosphere, we spoke of the love is here, the hugging. You know, we are truly a family of God. God's doing a work in all of us. So don't count anything short. You haven't seen anything yet. As long as we keep our hearts open and our minds set, and that we're going to serve God no matter what. So God is very proud of all of us. And so what He's been doing is trying to teach us how to believe. Praise the Lord. I need to learn how to believe. And that's what we all need to do. So this morning, you know, I've already talked about a lot of fruit that we're producing, but I'd like to talk about making the tree good and its fruit good. It's in Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 33. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 33. And Jesus says this. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And also an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would just teach us now, Lord, how that we can make our tree good that we produce good fruit, and that there be no bad tree among us. Unless you're doing the converting, Lord, we want all of us to be of good fruit, of a good tree, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, bless us today. Teach us, I pray, the importance of the word, our word, Lord, and your word especially. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "For every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And it says, "Then therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So folks, we can recognize where people are by a lot of what they say, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But also, I think especially of what they do, how they live their lives. You know, talk, I've heard from my grandson a lot, he says, well, talk is cheap. And it is for a lot of people. But what we've tried to do and what I've tried to do is that if I give my word, I will keep it. And I will go out of my way to make sure I keep it. So I just try not to give my word. No. No, it is important. You know, and that's the way God's word. I love to word what God says in the word that we've written here, he's written in the Bible, is that we can trust what he says. He's made commitments to us. And so he's going to keep his word. Why would he ask us to do it if he's not going to? Amen? He's going to keep it. So it's important. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't value and really trust the word that God puts forth. You know, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, says that you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, folks, do we believe that? And it's like, yes, but yet other people will say there's other verses in the Bible that they can't believe. They don't believe. And it's like, well, then if that's the case, you can't believe that, then how can you really believe this? So are you really saved? Or you just think you're saved? Does a word really work? Does God really mean what he said here? Or does he mean what he said just in these verses here, and the rest of it he didn't? Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? It's like you can't pick and choose what you really want to believe and what you don't believe, that you just take it and throw it out. It's either all good. Jesus said to tree, if it's a good tree, it'll produce good fruit, but a bad tree will only produce bad fruit. There's no in between. So either the word is true or it's false. Either it's right or it's totally wrong. You can't pick and choose the scriptures that you want to believe. Here's another one, Proverbs 18:21. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you believe that one? Most people don't, or else they don't know about it, because I hear people say, oh, I just feel like I'm going to die. Or I've got such a bad headache, or I've got this and I've got that, and they go on and I'll probably lose my job. With everything that's going on, I'll probably lose my job. There you go, I'll lose my house and everything. Now what am I going to do? Now you just talked yourself into poverty, living on the street. Because the word says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What kind of curses do you speak over yourself and over your family? My dad used to tell me, he said, you'll never amount to anything. Well, I fought that. And now I've given my heart to the Lord, and he's made me something. But folks, that's how we are. We don't understand the words that we say. You can either say blessings, speak blessings over people, or you can speak curses over them. That's what the word says, right? So you can't throw words out. You can't throw scripture out. Say, well, that's not really what that says. Oh, really? Look at Proverbs 4:23. I want to use the Good News translation here. It says a little different. It says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Really? Do you think like you'll never get ahead? You'll never get that bill paid? You'll never get your children changed? How do you think? What do you feel? Well, the word says that you're hurting yourself by your thoughts if they're negative. Folks, we need to learn how to compare the world and the things we do in our lives with what the Word of God says. Folks, the Word is real. It says in other translations, it says that out of the heart comes the issues of life. What's in your heart? What are you thinking about? Because what you think about all the time, you put in your heart. And you can put a curse on yourself. You know, the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It didn't say some things, or you might do something. But it says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you can get your thoughts right and wrapped around what God says rather than what you feel or what you think or what the world says about you. Folks, I just want us to see how serious God is and the issues, the things that he promises us. It's ours. We can change. It can all be different. But see, we've got to learn how to think, how to treasure the Word of God. And I've told this many times before that I pray according to the Word. And as I'm waiting on it to happen, I'll say, God, you said. God, you said. And God never denies that. He just says, yeah, just be patient. Just be patient. I've got this too. Like when he sent an angel to Mary, he said, hey, guess what? You're going to have a child. And she says, I'm not even married. He said, that'll be all right. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, but you will have a child. You will have a son. And she didn't doubt it at all. She said, be it unto me, as you say. And at one point, even the angel said, I think it was to one of the high priests, when he couldn't take that him and his wife were too old to have children, and the angel told, it's like, is anything too hard for the Lord? So let me ask you, is anything too hard? Are you going through something that God just doesn't know what to do about it? And then he can't. And he's up there just wringing his hands. What are we going to do, guys? Let's have a meeting. Figure this out. Do you see how ridiculous we can be and how we think? Man, I serve a mighty God. Look at what he's doing just with us. Who would have thought all of this? What an honor to be part of this body. And to see how God's going to grow us and use us and multiply. So these verses highlight that our inner thoughts and beliefs shape our identity and our character. What we think about ourselves and the world around us influences how we believe and behave and interact with others. It affects all of that. So to make a tree good is to cultivate a good heart, to align with the will and teachings of God, which will naturally produce good fruit and righteous actions. I like what Jesus said in Luke 13. It says a man had this plot of land and he had planted a tree on it. And he said he waited for 3 years and then went out to get some fruit on it, and there wasn't any. So he told the guy that took care of the vineyard and the garden that he had there, he said, cut that thing down. It's not worth the ground that it's taken up. Cut it down and we'll do something else with that ground. He's talking about a lot of churches. We look good. We have a lot of leaves. We talk good, but we have no fruit. So what did the guy tell him that took care of his garden? He said, sir, let's not cut it down yet. Give me a year. Let me dig around it and fertilize it and get everything right. And then he said, let's see if it'll grow fruit for you for next year. If not, then we'll just cut it down. Folks, you know churches are closing so fast anymore. There's so many churches that they're just empty buildings anymore. They start out with a lot of leaves, looking good, look healthy. A lot of good things going on, but no fruit. You know what Jesus did to a tree that had no fruit on it? Just leaves. He cursed it. And it died from the roots up. So folks, it's important. The Lord's not asking us to do everything on our own. He's saying, I'll do it through you. You just be willing. So you got to learn my word. Trust me. Let me work in your life. I'll do it through you. Just be willing. And see, that's why this church is so blessed, because I've always told you, you have such an open heart. You're so willing to receive. And so God takes that and he blesses us. He's showing us things. There's so many things, blessings that are happening. A lot of us are receiving a lot of blessings and we don't really know what's a blessing. Because it could be going the other way. You know what I mean? But that's how good our God is. John 15, 7 through 8 says this. St. John 15, 7 through 8. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And then he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So he's saying there, just abide in me and then ask. And he says, I'll do. And he says, therefore, you're going to produce fruit. Who did it? Anybody that has a garden or fruit trees or vines, you know, with their grapes, do you hear them out there grunting? You know, trying to make that grape pop out there, you know, or that apple to just start growing. No, it's just a natural thing. It abides. It's just abiding in the vine and on the tree, and it produces. Folks, that's all we got to do. Let's abide in Jesus. Let's just be determined to walk with him and to serve him with all of our heart. And then we can ask him for different things, but for the most part, we can just let it happen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I agree with that. See, a lot of times we don't agree with God. And so nothing happens. But folks, I agree with God's word. There's nothing that we can't do for him. He says, just abide and then ask. And he says, I'll do it. No problem. So we don't need to fear and fret and worry about all these other things. I like what the centurion said when he went to Jesus for him to come and heal his servant. It's in Matthew 8, verse 8. It says, Jesus said, all right, I'll come. And the centurion said, no, Lord, it's not necessary. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my roof. But he says, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. See, he understood what word meant. He was a leader, and he had soldiers under him. And he said, if I tell them to come, they come. If I tell them to go, they go. If I tell them to do this, they do it. So he says, you're a man of authority. Just speak the word. And what did Jesus say in reply? I've not seen such faith in all of Israel. Folks, where's your faith? What's the word say? Folks, if it's not in the word and God says he won't do it, don't even pray it, because it's not going to happen. But pray the word and it will happen. But see, we got to learn to trust. We may not understand it all, but it's okay. The Lord didn't say we have to understand it. He just said, believe and trust me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but he says, in all your ways acknowledge him. And then he'll direct your path. He'll take care of it. Folks, what a God we serve. Romans 12, 2 encourages believers. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, he said, by the renewing of your mind. Folks, a lot of times, we got to change the way we think. I'm so glad that God had worked on us the way he has with our thinking and renewing and all. You don't know the opposition that comes against you. Oh, you're one of those. You're the blab it and grab it kind, aren't you? No, I can name it, and I can claim it according to the word of God. I'm not a blab it and grab it. I don't walk around cars and claim they're mine. Folks, there's a lot of opposition when you try to believe God's word, because there's so many people that don't understand this and they come against it and they think they're doing the right thing. That's the sad part. It's so sad. They think they know it all. And they think you're confused and ignorant. And I was like, no, maybe, you know, come with me. Let's you and I go pray together and read some words, see what God says. I love how people expect a miracle and there's nothing really that has that would take a miracle to fix it. You know what I mean? So when there is that problem that it would take a great miracle for us to see that done, God says, poof, it's done. See, God gets the glory from the miracles. That's why I'm not afraid of a lot of things that happen and go on. I said, God, you're going to get a lot of glory out of this one. I'm excited. Do y'all realize what I'm saying? The word is so powerful. Abide in him. Then ask. And then I'll do it. So that you can bear much fruit, that God will be glorified in all of it. Folks, I do have a little booklet that helps me. And I put it to the side for a lot of time, for months and months. But I'm getting it out now, and I really feel led. See, I try to talk this so that you understand what I'm saying about trusting God's word. But this little booklet will go into more detail for healing and different things in your life. It's all scripture. It's all scripture. And then on chapter 4 with page 24, it says God's medicine. And it talks about going in and reading the scriptures and praying about them and getting the word of God. See, we have the word of God here, but we don't have it engrafted in our hearts. And that's the whole issue. See, we know a lot, but it's not working for us because it's not part of us. It's good to think, have it in your thoughts, but it's better to have it in your heart. See, we need to get the engrafted word of God in our heart, in our life. And we do that by repetition, by confessing it, by reading it, by praying about it, by thinking about it. And some of us, it just takes longer to do, to get it there. But see, when you have a real need and you're really praying about it and you're meditating, you found the scriptures and you're trusting God for it, when you know that it's taken care of is when you can see it done. So you can do that by getting the word engrafted into your heart. You really can. If you need healing, you're praying about it, you're working about it, pretty soon you kind of, it's still not there. It hasn't, you know, come about maybe at right then that, you know, I was blind and I need to see, but you're not seeing yet. But in the spiritual, you see, God, thank you. That word, kind of like the lady with the issue of blood. What'd she do? She kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I just do that, I know it's going to happen. Pretty soon she's seen it. And then there goes Jesus. No hesitancy at all. She went for it because she's seen and knew in her heart, all I got to do, what do I have to do? All I got to do is touch that hem and I'll be totally healed. I've had this thing long enough and now I'm healed. And she went and touched the hem and she was totally healed. And Jesus, when he found out who it was and she confessed to him, he says, be blessed. Your faith has made you whole. And there's others that may have a little harder time with that. That's why we have prayer groups. To an agreement shall be done. But see, we got to learn to prepare ourselves to receive. I know I sound radical to some people, but not to most of you because you've heard me rant and rave, right? So, I love ranting and raving about the Word of God. because I know it's real and I know it's true. And you can't steal it from me because I know I've seen it, I've experienced it. And I share what I know and what I believe. God is so good. And just look around you and see what God's doing with all of us. Now, I hope you go down in just a moment, that we go down and you watch this last portion of forgiving and be blessed by it. He's going to share some things, because sometimes it's really hard to forgive because we've been hurt so deeply, wounded by it, that God has to take us a little deeper. But it's all in trusting him with all of it. Father, I thank you for your word. You're so good. Lord, your word never fails. You're not a liar. What you say, you mean. And so, Lord, let us take your word so very seriously. I just bless you, and I thank you for your church, for your people here. Use us mightily, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Now I want to read the blessing over you. See, I want to speak a blessing over you, not a curse. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody would like one of these books that you're interested in and you want to really change your life and learn about the Word, Charlene has got one of these that she will gladly give you.